It took all of heaven to work this miracle in us, to make us alive in Christ.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and in today's program, we're highlighting the multitude of blessings that the Heavenly Father has graciously given us as adopted sons. Pastor Philip, what does it mean? It took all of heaven to accomplish the miracle of salvation.
Well, we are miracles. The fact that we've been made alive in Christ is nothing short of a miracle. And it took all of the triune God, all three members of the triune God, to come and save us. We are chosen by the Father before the beginning of time. He set his love and affection upon us. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place and for our sake, so that we might be redeemed by his blood and covered with his righteousness. He sent his Holy Spirit to seal us, to adopt us as children of God, to make us his very own forever with an undying life that can never go away. This is amazing. It's a miracle that took all of heaven. And here's what's amazing. God has never once had buyer's remorse. He loves us. Yeah. And in spite of all of our sin, in spite of all of our brokenness and rejection, the ways that we've lashed out against him, he has never stopped loving us and he has pursued us. This is amazing.
Chosen, redeemed, sealed. Let's go now to the pulpit at the Moody Church.
To be alive in Christ is nothing short of a miracle. Do you believe that? Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 5 say this: God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. Is that not a miracle? I'm telling you, it's a miracle. To go from spiritual death to spiritual life, to go from the grave to glory, to go from emptiness to everything, oh, that's a miracle. And it didn't just happen, no. There was a purpose, there was a plan, there was a promise, there was a choice and a grace and a mystery, there was a sacrifice and a redemption and a forgiveness and a sealing and a filling and an inheritance. In fact, the Apostle Paul, as he's about to open everything up in Ephesians chapter 1, is going to show us that all three persons of the Godhead, the triune God, the one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have been collaborating from all eternity past through to eternity future on this very project of our salvation, which is ours by grace through faith in Christ. It took all of heaven to work this miracle in us, to make us alive in Christ. And as Paul begins this letter to the church in Ephesus, he breaks forth in the most beautiful and transcendent chorus of worship and praise to our triune God who has saved us and made us alive in Christ, all to the praise of his glory. So grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 down to 14 this morning. And these 12 verses are, in fact, one giant sentence in Greek. 246 words in English, 202 in Greek. This is all one sentence we're looking at today. As a matter of fact, verses 15 down to 23 are another long sentence. So what you have is, after the salutation in Ephesians chapter 1, you have two sentences that make up the entire chapter. That's pretty crazy. I know some of you teachers and English majors are going nuts right now. But that's what we have before us. And what glorious sentences they are. We're going to look at the first sentence today and the second sentence next time, all right? So verses 3 down to 14, let us read the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That's an amazing sentence, isn't it? It's an amazing sentence. All the punctuation in English doesn't exist. Okay? In Greek, it just keeps going. Now, you'll recall from last time that the Ephesian church was facing a twofold danger, two-pronged danger, remember? They were in danger of losing the truth of the gospel and their love for God. The truth of the gospel and their love for God. And so Paul begins this letter with a prayer of blessing that will saturate their minds with the truth of the gospel and will stir their hearts in worship of God. This is a great way to begin. He reminds the Ephesian church and us that we are chosen by the Father, we are redeemed by the Son, and we are sealed by the Spirit. Okay? Trinity outline. Chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, sealed by the Spirit. Let's pray and ask the Lord to be our teacher as we dive in. Father, as we turn to this glorious sentence that redounds to the praise of your glory, Father, remind us of the truth. Grab our minds with the truth of the gospel and stir our hearts to worship you for all that you are and all you have given us in Christ Jesus. We pray this in the name of our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Number one, we are chosen by the Father. Chosen by the Father. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Pause. This prayer of praise begins with the word blessed, which is both a description and an ascription. Description and ascription. Paul is describing God as blessed because he alone is blessed above all. And he is ascribing blessing to God, for he alone is worthy of all blessing and honor and glory. And all blessing rightfully belongs to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? What is the grounds of this blessing, the reason for it? Because he is the one who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, it's hard to notice in your English translation here, but all three members of the Trinity are present here in verse 3. It begins with God the Father, who has blessed us in Christ, there's the Son, with every spiritual blessing. And this word spiritual means in the Greek, it simply means of the Spirit, pertaining to the Spirit, as in the Holy Spirit. These are blessings of the Spirit that Paul has in mind here. In fact, I think it would be better almost to capitalize the word S in spiritual, because with a small s, we're tempted to assume that this means immaterial or non-physical blessings, But that's not the intent here. These are the blessings of the Spirit, the Spirit-infused, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-gifted blessings that the Father has given to us in Jesus Christ. So here in the opening lines of this this prayer of praise, we have the entire Trinity at work: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the Father who is the initiating source of our blessing. It is the Son who is the incarnate mediator of our blessing. And it is the Spirit who is the indwelling agent of our blessings. And all these blessings, Paul says, are in the heavenly places, which is where Christ has ascended and is seated now at the Father's right hand, from whence he has sent the Holy Spirit with all of his manifold gifts of grace for the sake of the body of Christ. Now, Paul calls the Ephesians and us who have been so blessed to be blessed by the Father, who has blessed us in the Son with the blessings of the Spirit, to now return blessing to God for all he has done to us. Blessed be the God who has blessed us. And now Paul's going to enumerate some of those blessings. Verse 4. Even as he, this is the Father, chose us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, the Father. So one of the great blessings that we've received from the Father, in the Son, by the Spirit, is that we are chosen. We're chosen. The Father has chosen us in Christ, he says, before the foundation of the world. So before, this is amazing, before the dawning of the world, the Father looked down through the corridors of time and beheld us and loved us and chose us to be his very own. Before God said, "Let there be light," God said, "Let them be mine." And there are echoes here. There are echoes here of when God chose Abraham and blessed him and made him his very own. Not because Abraham was so great, but because God was so very gracious. And there are echoes of when God chose Israel to be blessed, to be his very own. Not because Israel was so great, but because God was so very gracious. And now God has chosen you to be blessed in Christ, to make you his very own, not because you're so very good, but because God is so very gracious. And you have been chosen with a purpose. A purpose. Paul says that we should be holy and blameless before him. This is temple language. Only the holy and blameless could enter into the holy presence of God. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And this is relational language. The reason we need holiness is so we can draw near to a holy God, to see him face to face and to be with him. So don't you see, friends, this is so, we haven't even started barely, haven't we? But from before time began, God the Father chose you in Christ, in the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world, to be his very own, that you might be holy and pleasing and blameless in his sight, so that you might enjoy his glorious presence forever and ever. From all eternity past, God chose you in himself, for himself rather, in love, in Christ, so that in all eternity future you might forever live in love before him. This is amazing. He keeps going. In love, he, the Father, predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his, this is the Father's will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So not only did the Father choose us for himself, in love he has predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to his purpose and will. Now when someone adopts a child, a son, a daughter, as their very own, they choose to give that child all the rights and privileges of blood kinship. Right? All the rights and privileges. It is a legal status that is conferred upon the child. That child now has rights. Rights to the family estate. Rights to the inheritance. They are truly a part of the family. They bear the family name. They enjoy the family status. And they are entitled to the family inheritance. Right? Now, through Jesus Christ, friends, Paul says, we have been adopted as sons of God. We are sons of God. And just a quick aside, ladies, this includes you too. I know it's hard to read language that doesn't have your gender in it or whatever, but listen to me on this. In the Greco-Roman world, only men inherited. So only sons could inherit properties, which is why Paul deliberately chooses the word sons. He's not excluding you. He's trying to show you that you are an heir. You're a son. You are an inheritor. This includes men and women. You are a legally adopted heir of God. And just to be fair, in chapter 5, Paul's going to refer to the church, men and women together, as the bride of Christ. So women need to realize they're sons, and men need to realize they are a bride, okay? So it goes both ways. End of aside, okay? So here we are, the destiny that the Father has willed and has purposed from before the dawn of time was that we might be his own sons and heirs through Jesus Christ. As John says in John 1, verse 12, yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And all of this, Paul says, is to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you're joining us today as we reflect on the beauty of God, God who chose us and has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It should inspire, as Pastor Philip just said, worship. If I've got this right, Pastor Miller, it's like somebody let me have an exclusive showing into a donut shop. And I can have my choice of not only the sprinkles, but the chocolate donuts and the glazed donuts and the fresh baked donuts. Is it that kind of wonder that we should have?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but not just can you have anything in the case, you get everything in the case. Like, your Father owns the shop and it's now yours, and you can, anytime you want, you have everything you need, right? This is amazing that the Father has loved us before all of time. This blows my mind that he looked down through the corridors of time and he chose us and said, you will be mine, and loved us and has lavished us with his grace and has made us his very own, adopted us into his family. This is incredible, these resources that we have. We are special in ways that we can't even imagine, even when we don't feel it. These things are true. Jesus Christ's death on the cross is proof positive that we are loved by God, loved more than we could ever know.
Our listeners, I'm sure, are thinking to themselves, now, okay, you say it should inspire worship, the appreciation of all of these blessings, but what would authentic gratitude worship look like?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah, I think it could look a lot of different ways, you know? I think sometimes, you know, when you're stirred up by the truth of the gospel and how you've been loved by the Father, and you realize you're his beloved child in Jesus Christ, not for your own sake, but because Jesus is enough, that his life has covered you. I think it just starts moving you back in adoration and praise and wonder. And it flows out in lots of different ways, right? When we sing songs in church to the praise of the glory of God, that's one way that we're living out a life of worship. Or sometimes when we journal and, you know, we reflect on God's love, what it means to us and how we're appropriating and integrating and metabolizing this life of Christ and prizing it in delight. It's my parents always said, you know, write a thank you note when you get a gift, right? And so like sitting down and writing a love letter of thanks to your Heavenly Father for who He is in your life, journaling that. There's all kinds of ways. I know people who paint and do artwork, and it's literally an exercise in worship and wonder and praise. It's like, God has loved me so much, and so I'm gonna paint a picture, and I'm gonna, you know, whatever it is, right? So I think there's this huge capacity in our souls that is meant to respond to God in worship, and it could look very different for different people. But the point is that we do it, whatever it is.
Pastor Philip, some of our listeners will be saying, well, wait a minute. You've just told us that He chose us, God did, and He gave us these blessings. But now it sounds like you're saying, so I'm obligated to repay Him for what He's done. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that. How would we ever repay Him? How could we ever repay this infinite gift that we've given? It's impossible. So we're not repaying anything. And yet there is a sense in which, having been loved so deeply by God, it is pulling out in response a fitting surrender, a fitting self-giving back in response and gratitude to what God has done for us. So there is something there. Like in Corinthians, Paul will say, the love of Christ compels us. Compels, that's a strong word. There's a sense in which His love is compelling, it draws me in, but there's also a sense in which His love is now reciprocating a love in me, which compels me to live a life of devotion and obedience and worship and surrender. So there's a sense in which it is just so fitting that I give myself in response to the one who gave Himself for me. But I obey now, not for acceptance.
Yes.
I obey from acceptance. And that makes all the difference in the world. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says, you know, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord that's acceptable and pleasing to Him. It's your spiritual act of worship. And the reality is the work that God's done in my life, the gift that He's given me, that's what's issuing forth now, is this life of total devotion, surrender, and praise, because I've been given everything in Jesus Christ. So I have to give myself back.
Not forced. Not because of
full of delight and surrender and joy.
Yes.
And the reality is, it took the salvation of God to change my heart like this in such a way that I would give myself back. I could never do this on my own. And what's amazing is that this is God's plan from the very beginning. And it's not plan B. This is what God has always intended through Jesus Christ, to save me, to turn my life around. And that's where Paul's going next.
I'm excited about that. And I think we get to dig a little deeper into that very topic the next time that we're here on Living Hope.
That's right.
You know, since God has chosen us and adopted us as His own, isn't that reason enough to praise Him? That's why I'm excited to tell you about Dr. George Sweeting's book, How to Begin the Christian Life. This insightful resource helps us understand the core principles of our Christian walk and how to live a life by His grace. Dr. Sweeting covers essential topics like prayer, Bible study, and the importance of the Holy Spirit, all of which help us deepen our relationship with Christ and live out our faith with joy and gratitude. Now, whether you're a new believer just starting out or a seasoned Christian looking for a fresh start on the basics of the faith, Dr. Sweeting's book offers practical guidance and timeless wisdom. For a limited time, we're offering How to Begin the Christian Life for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. You can also write us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.